Welcome to Torati Mecha HaFtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week we read the special Maftir of Parshas Zachar. And because of this, we don't read the HaFtorah for Parshas Tetzaveh. Instead, we'll read from Shmuel Aleph, chapter 15, verses 2 to 32. As we read Parshas Zachar, we prepare for the joyous day of Purim and recall that Haman did not rise up to destroy us in a vacuum. He was from Amalek, the very same Amalek that in our Haftorah, the first Jewish king Shaul is told to destroy. Here in the Haftorah, we read the story of Shaul's failure at this mission. Although he goes to battle, verse 8 tells us that he spares King Agag, and in verse 9, he and the nations refrain from destroying the best of the livestock. In verse 10, Hashem informs Shmuel that Shaul has disqualified himself from the throne. Shmuel, the Navi who had crowned Shaul, his mentor and guide, now faces the painful duty of telling Shaul that he will no longer be king and why. The conversation is difficult. Shaul, completely unaware, greets Shmuel with enthusiasm and exuberance, insisting that he has followed Hashem's command. However, Shmuel confronts him with the devastating truth. By failing to obey entirely, he has brought calamity upon himself and his nation. Shaul protests, saying, "I did listen. I only spared the king and I left the animals to bring sacrifices to your God." And in verse 22, Shmuel says, "Vayomer Shmuel, ha'chefetz la'Hashem ba'olosuz vachim, kishmoa b'kol Hashem, hine shmoa mizevach tov, la'hakshiv mechelav elim." Does Hashem delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obedience to Hashem's command? Surely obedience is better than sacrifice, compliance than the fat of rams. Verse 23, Ki chatas kesem meri, va'aven utrafim haftar, ya'an ma'astas dvar Hashem, va'yim ascha mimelech. For defiance is like the sin of sorcery, and stubbornness like the sin of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Hashem, He has rejected you from being king. Our rabbis also teach us that by leaving Agag alive, Shaul had unwittingly allowed the chain of Amalek to continue, which led to the birth of Haman, called Haman Ha'agagi. Our rabbis tell us something frightening. In Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Tetzaveh, Amar Rebbe Elazar, Kol shenaase rachaman al haachzari, lasof naase achzar al harachmanim. All who show mercy on the cruel will become cruel on the merciful. As we see in this story of Shaul, the Medrash continues, Shaul had mercy on Agag and the livestock, yet later he was the one who massacred an entire city of innocent Kohanim in Nov. And the Medrash explains to us these two acts are connected. To understand Shaul's grave mistake, we must explore the nature of Amalek. The Maftir we will read commands us, Zuchor es asher asalacha Amalek, asher karcha badarach. Remember what Amalek did. But the next phrase is difficult to translate. Rashi says it comes from the language of Mikra. They happened upon you on the way. Or kor, from cold, as in hot and cold. The Jewish nation was compared to a boiling hot bath that no one would dare to touch. But as soon as one fool tried to bathe in it, although he burnt himself to death, this, so to speak, cooled it down for everyone else. And people were no longer so afraid. So too, After the miracles of Exodus and the splitting of the sea, the world was petrified of the Jewish people. No one would dare start up with this nation that was clearly protected and enveloped by God. But once Amalek, this audacious nation who did not fear God, attacked us, we were no longer untouchable. And although Amalek failed miserably, the spell was no longer, and the Jews were now fair game. Many Bali Musar talk about what Amalek has come to represent for us. For us, having experienced the miracles, the closeness, the relationship, we were filled with home, with heat, with passion and clarity. We were alive with our knowledge and love of being the nation of God. And when they attacked us, it was demoralizing and confusing. How could Hashem's nation be attacked by enemies? Were we wrong? The word karcha means coincidence. And the message of Amalek was and always is, you are not experiencing miracles. You are in a cold world of mikra, happenstance. You are not connected to Hashem. Those experiences you had can all be explained away as accidental and coincidental. And that had a real effect on us. It still does. While we continue to serve Hashem, that cynicism has entered our being, replacing passion with a cold, robotic, kind of dutiful existence. We have lost our emotion. Our rabbis tell us that the real fight against Amalek actually takes place in the heart. We need to reawaken our passion, our zest. They teach us it is possible to keep halacha without emotion, without passion, but truly, that kind of service is but a shell of what it is meant to be. There is no energy, no life, no motor that is propelling us forward in our service, and it becomes an apathetic and dead service. As Chazal teach us, Rachmana Liba Ba'i, God is looking for our heart. And truly in our Purim story, that is exactly what we rediscovered. We rediscovered our relationship with Hashem, our passion and our joy. Which brings us to the troubling dichotomy and challenge. On the one hand, we have Shaul in our Haftorah. According to Chazal, it was truly his emotions that led to his failure. He knew what he was supposed to do, but his heart, his emotions did not let him do it. The problem with passion, with emotion, is it can lead us into disaster. That is what Chazal warned us. The same emotional drive that controlled Shaul in this story with Agag will ultimately lead to his murderous rampage on an innocent city. When emotion and passion are unbridled, uncontrolled, there's actually nothing more dangerous than that. Rabbi Yeshaya Levy, a contemporary commentator, author of a sefer called Mikra Ani Doresh, offers a unique perspective on this troubling story. Let us imagine for a second the moment of Shaul's victory, the newly anointed king of the Jewish people, the first of his kind. He has just led his army in a glorious victory against their oldest and most feared enemy, the Amalekim. His decision to spare the cattle and Agag was not meant to disobey the wishes of Hashem. Far from it. In that moment of victory, at the height of his reign, he was inspired to shift the focus from his own glory back to Hashem and his Navi. The animals he spared were to be karbanos to thank Hashem for their triumph. His intention with sparing Agag was similarly altruistic, as he never intended to let Agag free, but rather to leave him for Shmuel HaNavi to kill, as indeed transpired. In the days prior to the establishment of the monarchy, the spiritual, political, and military leadership belonged to the Navi or Shofet. By leaving Agag for Shmuel to kill, Shaul was attempting to demonstrate that the monarchy was still dependent on Hashem's Navi. Now we can understand Shaul's exuberant greeting to Shmuel. I have upheld the word of Hashem. I just gave you a present, Shmuel, and Hashem one as well. But then Shmuel's words echo with painful clarity. Yes, Presents can be very nice, especially ones that come from such a beautiful place of sincere generosity. But not when in the giving of the present, you ignore the word of Hashem and defy Hashem's will. You so badly want to honor Hashem, so you ignore his words and reject his plan? That does not honor Hashem. And in fact, that very same personality of letting your emotions get away with you is what ultimately will lead Shaul to that terrible day when his passion, this time for anger, led him to the awful massacre of Nov. This is our challenge. Amalek seeks to cool our passion, to turn our Avodas Hashem into something robotic and detached. Purim, in contrast, reminds us to reignite that passion, to serve Hashem with heart, joy, and deep connection. But as we learn from Shaul, passion alone is not enough. When emotions override clear obedience to Hashem's will, they can lead to dangerous outcomes. Shaul's well-intended act ultimately enabled Haman's existence, and the same unchecked emotional drive later led to the tragic massacre of Nov. True Avodas Hashem requires both passion and discipline. We must awaken our hearts, but we must also remain in control, ensuring that our emotions are guided by Hashem's will, not the other way around. Passion should be our fuel, but obedience to Hashem must always remain the driver. The balance is the real victory over Amalek, rekindling our fire while keeping it within the boundaries of Hashem's commandments. And this is the essence of Purim, a celebration of rediscovered connection where we serve Hashem with both love and loyalty, joy and devotion. Thank you for learning together.